Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
And let's start off by taking a very deep breath into our heart. And releasing. Another deep breath into the 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 heart. And releasing. I want you to think of someone or something that you feel love towards. Could be your doggy, your munchkins. Feel that love. Releasing it into the flow. Letting thoughts come and go. My spirit is awakening. My spirit is awakening. I'm releasing all those things that are holding me back. I'm releasing. I'm releasing. I feel love flowing from every cell in my body. I feel my love expanding throughout the whole universe. My love is flowing. Flowing. I feel connected with the stars, the galaxies, and the planets. I've got stardust in my soul. The same divine love that created this whole universe lies within me. I am truly blessed. And I'm truly blessed by all the gifts that are already on their way. I'm being held in the arms of God. I am safe. Thank you. I love you. Take a deep breath into the heart and releasing. Another deep breath into the heart and releasing. Another deep breath into the heart and releasing. Another deep breath in the heart. And releasing. Another deep breath into the heart. And releasing. Another deep breath into the heart. And releasing. Okay, go ahead and wiggle your toes. And slowly open your eyes. Somebody want to stretch? Okay, good. Excellent. I'm so excited to be here. I haven't been here. First time I was here was in, I was just looking on my emails last night, it was 2008. Then I came back again in 2009. So it's been a while. But I've, you know, it's funny. Somebody just told me yesterday that Reverend Paul has been here 25 years. That's got to be a record. Really, it's amazing. And, you know, I've made friends with a lot of people that I met 5-6 years ago. But one of the most telling things about this church that I found fascinating and tells me that this church is thriving is the high number of kids attending. I've been in hundreds of Unity churches, and many of them, some of them don't have any kids at all. It tells me that something good is happening. And today we're going to talk about miracles. And scientists hate the idea of miracles. They hate it. Because by definition, a miracle is something that happens that shouldn't be happening. It violates the laws of nature. And scientists hate it when the laws of nature get violated. However, especially physics is finding that miracles happen all the time. Let me give you an example. We know one law of nature is an object can't be in two different spots at the same time, right? Wrong. An electron, when it's circling an atom, if nobody's observing that electron magically turns into energy waves. Okay? Weird. Basically what that means, it's everywhere at once. Another example, this is like the fundamental one. Einstein's law of relativity. The main fundamental premise of relative theory is nothing can go faster than the speed of light. Well, a couple of physicists in 1931 proposed, these are Schrodinger and Heidelberg, quantum entanglement. In quantum entanglement is where you have a couple electrons circling the same atom. If you separate them, even by millions of miles, what will happen is if you push on one, the other one will instantaneously go in the exact same direction. Now, if they were to communicate with each other, it would be faster than the speed of light. Again, that violates the law of nature the idea that nothing can go faster than the speed of light. Well, Einstein hated this. They had huge jousting matches between those theories and what he said. In fact, at one point he even said, this is spooky action at a distance. Can't be happening. God doesn't play dice with the universe. In 1981, Einstein was proven wrong. They just redid the experiment in the new cyclotron. I think it was 2 years ago. And they found that the communication between the two electrons wasn't just faster than the speed of light, it was 10,000 times faster than the speed of light. If you're going to break a law of nature, you might as well go all the way. And, however, we could say the spookiest thing in physics right now is the idea of consciousness. I kind of gave you a hint. I said the electron was going around the atom if nobody's watching it. Well, here's an interesting thing that's been going on. They did a bunch of experiments, and I think most of you probably saw the movie What to Bleep. They were shooting these little electrons through these slit on the sheet, and they were all lining up a nice, neat, neat line on the back wall. But you happen to notice there was an eye watching it. If you took away the eye, then what happened is the electrons turned into energy waves. So instead of one line, you got like 15 lines or 16 lines. And they were everywhere all at the same time. They weren't just going through it, they were coming back through it. So they were going both ways at the same time. And basically, however, it boils down to this. Without consciousness, you can't have matter. There would not be universe if everything was energy waves. It would be a bunch of unmanifest nothing. So consciousness is the key for having matter. Now, recently, a few physicists have actually speculated on what's causing this collapse of the wave functions into matter. And a couple of physicists said, maybe we're doing it by looking through the universe in our telescopes. I think that's a stretch. A couple of physicists from India have suggested that maybe the whole universe is consciousness itself, being aware of itself. Regardless, I think there's one other possibility. Maybe science has found God. Because something or someone or something is
observing and creating matter out of nothing. Now, if consciousness is the key, then we've got consciousness. That's kind of comforting. Now, there's four different groups of research studies on consciousness that show that consciousness also has, from us, our human consciousness, has quantum field properties. The first group is the prayer research. And by the way, Unity Church has been an active participant in the prayer research. And I've really, really loved the idea that they believed in their message so much they subjected it to scientific scrutiny by being involved in prayer studies. We'll talk about one here in just a few minutes. The second group of research studies is the meditation research studies, which are the ones that I was involved with. Those of you who saw What the Bleep, we know we took 4,000 transcendental meditators into Washington, D.C. and actually changed the crime rates while we were there. The third group of research studies is the research studies that shows that we can know things before they happen. And the fourth group of research studies is the research studies that shows that consciousness can actually influence machines. So let's go into them a little bit more detail. This will kind of give you a clue about the quantum field of our consciousness. The first one is the prayer, and we're all familiar with the prayer research. The first studies that were done, they'd pray for one ward of the hospital, and they wouldn't pray for the surrounding wards. And the ward they pray for would get well faster, have less need for antibiotics, have less time in the hospital, and in some cases less deaths than the surrounding wards. There's a whole bunch of these studies done, and most scientists poo-pooed this early research. They said that what was going on was really that the people doing the praying happened to pick the ward of the hospital that had the best doctors and the best nurses. And the people doing the praying had an uncanny knack for figuring out which of those wards had the best doctors and best nurses. Finally, they did a double-blind study in 1988. A double-blind study is the Cadillac version of research. You can't get any better than that. And in this case, they would, you know, put people in two different groups, and then they'd randomly assign them throughout the whole hospital. And they'd pray for one group and wouldn't pray for the other group. And what they found was the exact same research findings as the other studies. And did a bunch of these as well. Finally, scientists started saying, maybe there is something to prayer. Positive thinking. You think about it. Positive thinking is huge. You couldn't be coming to Reverend Paul's church and not know about positive thinking and believe in it. But is positive thinking the same as prayer? That's an interesting question. Well, actually, Unity Church came to the rescue. They did the study in 1999 in Kansas City, and they addressed this question. Because here's the interesting thing. Let's say I'm sick. And let's say Janine is praying for me, and I get well faster because she's praying for me. But if I don't know she's praying for me, it can't be due to positive thinking, right? Does that make sense to everybody? Can't be positive thinking if I don't know it. Well, they did a study like that. They called it a triple-blind study. Everybody that entered a hospital, 1,200 people over a six-month period, it was put in two different groups. One was prayed for, one wasn't prayed for, but they weren't told they were being prayed for. And even the doctors and nurses didn't know there was a study going on, so there'd be no interference anywhere. And they found the exact same results as the other prayer research. There is something unique about prayer. Now, this blew a lot of people's mind. So they did another triple-blind study. This one was done in Columbia, New York. And what they did here, they had a couple of interesting twists. They had people in America praying for people in Korea. So somehow the prayers had to go through molten rock and whatever else is in the middle of the world and arrive at the right person in Korea. And also, it was a women's in vitro fertilization clinic, women trying to get pregnant. And again, it was a triple-blind study, so nobody knew they were being prayed for. And what the results were was they found that women who were being prayed for had a 50% greater chance of getting pregnant than the women who weren't being prayed for. It brings up a whole new dimension to the idea of immaculate conception, but we won't touch that one today. Now, I should probably point out that not all the prayer research has come out significant. There's been about a handful of the 250 studies, but only just a handful. But when you think about it, it's probably the most reliable things out there being studied. Look at coffee. Every other week, a new study from coffee comes out. One week, coffee's good for you. Next week, it's bad for you, right? Remember eggs? Remember eggs? If you look at an egg, you get a heart attack. Then they said it's the good-tasting stuff in the middle you can't eat. You can eat that lousy-tasting stuff on the outside. And then they said, whoops, we're wrong again. Eggs don't cause heart attacks. It's inflammation. Those two landmark studies in New England Journal of Medicine published about 3 years ago. Of course, they're still giving people statins drugs. I can't quite figure out why they're doing that, but that's another whole issue. But anyway, you get the general idea. Probably the most reliable thing out there is the prayer research. But the bigger question is, how come even one of those research studies came out significant, much less 250? The truth of the matter is, our brain waves don't get past our skull bones, very weak. So what's causing this effects at a distance? We have no way of scientifically explaining it, except maybe spooky action at a distance. Now, the other one is similar to the prayer research, the meditation research. That's the research that I was involved with. And those of you who saw the movie Went to Bleep, we took 4,000 meditators into the Washington, D.C. area and actually changed the crime rates while we were there. I was the first person to get any of these studies published way back in the 1980s. And they were published in mainstream journals, which is even more amazing. I myself was pretty surprised. But interestingly enough, we went in there. We actually told the mayor and the police chief in advance what we were going to do. We told the newspapers. The mayor was Marion Barry. Remember the cocaine mayor? He was off drugs by then. He was clean. They reelected him. And we went in there because it was such a high crime area. We thought we could change the crime rates. We'd sat there meditating. We'd start about 8 o'clock in the morning. We'd meditate till about 1. We started again about 3, 3:30, and meditate till about 7. And we did about 3 or 4 meditations in the morning and 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Now I have a little question for you. How many times did we think about crimes while we're in them, those meditations? During the whole meditation? Just once before each meditation? Or zero? Zero. Excellent. Excellent. That doesn't go along with the intention stuff you've all been hearing about. The truth of the matter is you can't get to the quantum field by trying to get there. One of those incredible mysteries. The quantum field is everywhere, but you can't get there by trying. Now, that brings us to the next area. And this study I'm going to talk about now is related to the idea of we can know things before they happen, which again is a quantum field thing, beyond time-space limitations. And here, this study was done by accident, done about 12, 15 years ago. And what happened was they had a bunch of TV screens lined up, and were people in front of these TV screens, and their goal was to guess in advance what kind of photograph was going to come up on the screen, whether it was going to be a positive or a negative one. The positive ones were nature scenes. The negative ones, however, were very gruesome. These were people in morgues. And the people couldn't guess. But lucky for us, that wasn't the end of the story. Because the researchers had the foresight to think, well, if it's going to be a really negative photo, maybe there might be a burst of anxiety every time the negative photo was presented. So they had people hooked up to a GSR machine while this experiment was going on. GSR is very similar to a lie detector. It measures anxiety. And what they anticipated, there'd be a spike in anxiety every time the negative photo was presented. Well, they did indeed find that spike of anxiety. But they found the spike of anxiety happened 2 seconds before the negative photo was presented. In other words, our body knew it was going to happen before it happened. Remember the old adage, I knew it in my gut? Well, this study laid dormant for about 14 years until last year a very famous psychologist by the name of Dr. Behm decided to revisit it. First of all, nobody believed it, so they redid the study in an independent laboratory, and then they looked in MRIs. And saw the MRIs look inside the brain. What they found was the whole brain would light up with anxiety about 4 seconds before the negative photo was presented. So they did like a couple of studies during that time period. Then last year, Dr. Behm decided to look at it. And he used college freshmen, and he basically changed the thing around a little bit, but basically the same study. And he did the study 9 times. And 8 of them came out significant. The ninth was almost significant. The chances of that happening by sheer chance alone is 1 in 4 billion. Very highly, highly reliable. He submitted it to publication at the Journal of Social Psychology, which is a very conservative journal. The editors agreed to publish it, but in their notes they said, obviously Dr. Behm made a mistake. So we need to help us figure out what he did wrong, even though he's a world-famous psychologist, he's in every textbook. The only reason we're publishing it is because he's well known. So that's how come they put it in there. So this kind of caused a firestone in psychology right now. Unbelievable. And the fourth group of research studies that shows that we are quantum beings, or consciousnesses anyway, is this research done in Princeton. Now, here scientists and engineers had the theory, well, if our consciousness is indeed a quantum field, if we devised a quantum field random number generator, then machine, in other words, maybe they could interact. So that's what they did. They used radiation from outer space, which is quantum-based, and very reliable. In fact, you can run clocks on it. I did a class in Colorado Springs where NORAD is, and one of the people from NORAD came down and said, yeah, we run all of our stuff on cosmic radiation. And it's very reliable. And they had this, what they called a quantum field random number generator. It generated numbers. And the numbers were 101010. And what they wanted to do was change the output from 1010 to 1111 or 0000. And again, they used college freshmen. And they had these college freshmen concentrate on these machines to see if they could change the machines. And after hundreds of thousands of trials, they were able to find a significant but very weak effect. Personally, I don't know how they managed it at all, because whenever I was a college freshman, I could barely get out of bed, much less influence a quantum field random number generator. But they were able to get these kids to do it. And then they had a brilliant idea. Let's put 4 or 5 together and see if the effect is stronger. And that's what they found. The more doing it, the stronger the effect. So what they did is they put these machines throughout the whole world. In fact, they're going on as we speak. And what they do is they measure the collective consciousness. Like the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Billions of people watch those opening ceremonies. And the machines go crazy. By going crazy, instead of 1010, they start doing 111 or 0000. We don't know which way they're going to go. They just do one or the other. Another example, Katrina, the tsunami. However, the most amazing thing happened during 9/11, because the machines were going on during 9/11. And during 9/11, two amazing things happened. First of all, the machines went crazy for 4 straight days. Nothing like that's been seen up before. And even more fascinating was the machines started going crazy 4 hours before 9/11 actually happened, before the terrorists even got in the airplanes. So our collective consciousness knew what was going to happen before it happens. Okay? So what we've seen, I basically outlined about 1,000 different studies in general, that kind of prove that our consciousness has quantum field properties. Now this is exciting news, by the way, because it has lots of implications. First of all, together we can make a bigger difference than we can alone. We come together and have these group meditations in this wonderful church. We are making a difference. So many people I've talked to said, I can't stand all this negativity. I'm getting drowned in this negativity. Well, first of all, turn off the television. And second of all, there is something you can do about the negativity. When I was in Memphis doing a Unity Church there, one of the ladies there was in the audience. She says, I just love that analogy of the two electrons. If you push on one electron, the other one goes in the exact same direction. That means if I do my work, I'm helping other people. I'm changing this collective consciousness. And the other thing is, when we do it in a group, our effect is far more greater than it is when we do it alone. Jesus even said, when two or more gather, he didn't say when one or more gather, he said two. The more the merrier, the more the effect. And also, in a very roundabout way, if our consciousness is quantum field-based, then it's not brain-based. Most scientists believe that our brain is a byproduct of consciousness. Consciousness is a byproduct of our brain. So when the brain dies, consciousness dies. However, if consciousness is quantum field based, then the consciousness doesn't have to die when the brain dies. This, in a sense, we've just proven life after death. Pretty amazing stuff. And even more importantly, we all have doubts. Everybody in here, at one point or another, has doubts. It is so refreshing to be alive in a time when science is erasing these doubts and we're proving what we know to be true in our hearts. It's huge. It's huge. And in a very real way, I'd say this is the most exciting time that I've ever been around. Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you. I'm going to say a couple words about the seminar. It's been a while since I've been here. A lot of stuff has changed. I'm doing a manifestation seminar, how to create the miracles with your thoughts and life of your dreams. And one of the big questions I've asked in these seminars, and I've probably taught about 16,000 people, most of them Unity people, about these seminars. And one of the questions I ask in my classes is, how many people know what their problems are, but they keep making the same mistakes over and over again? Everybody's hand should be up, right? And that's not your fault. Those are brain pathways. The good thing is we can change these brain pathways. We can change the brain pathways by tapping on acupuncture points. Okay? They've proven it now. So you can actually change the structure of the brain. And even more so, we're going to use the quantum field stuff to learn to manifest. For quantum beings, why don't we use the quantum field to manifest with? So it's going to be a manifestation and a healing class together. So I'm doing a little bit of both. And yes, one more thing I wanted to add about this. The healing and the healing class probably will be mostly tomorrow. Today we'll be doing manifestation both days, because I find it really helps people if they learn it both days. That way they can get it down. Because what we're going to be doing is we're going to teach you how to let go of the intention into the quantum. The intentions don't really matter, to be quite candid with you. But the main thing is, in order to use the quantum field to manifest with, we've got to learn to let go of them. So I'm going to teach you how to let go of them into the quantum. And if you can't make the class, it's a two-day class, ideally. If you can't make one of the classes, you're welcome to come to the other one. Tomorrow, we're going to start at 5:30 for those that missed today, because some people may not be able to make today, so we'll start at 5:30 so you can catch up. The regular class is at 6:30. So it'll be three-hour classes both days. And we'll be teaching manifestation both days, so that way you won't miss anything if you only attend one day. If you can't make either day, then we have a CDs and DVDs that you can get that will make up, and you can learn the class at home. So I have a CD-DVD package that will help you out there. Also, I'll need your email addresses in case I come back. I'm sure I'll be coming back again, so this way you keep in contact. If you give me your email address, I'll send you a lot of my latest papers that I've written, and you'll be able to catch up and get everything for free. Anyway, I'm excited about being with you guys after the class and after the seminar. This will be a life-changing seminar. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.